And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Blood on the Bloom, episode 246. Coming at you on a Tuesday night, not recorded this time around, folks. We are here on a Tuesday evening. Bubba's smiling. Things are working. Life is good at the moment. We'll get into some Bloom boards for a Tuesday. But before we get to that, you can follow me on Twitter at BDEntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How we doing, my friend?
Are you smiling because your internet's working or because Devin Williams is currently closing for the Yankees right now as we hit record?
Maybe combination? A little bit of both.
We'll go with that. Column A, column B?
Yeah, it's the realistic aspect of Weaver got two saves in a row, so he got the night off part thing. But I'll take it. I'll take it. Okay. Grain of salt. Just lock it down. Don't blow it and really piss me off.
We'll see your frown turn or your smile turn upside down. If that happens, I'm doing good, man. Getting over the Nathan Eovaldi injury that always hurts. So I guess we'll talk about that in a little bit. But outside of that, doing what I can. We've got some positive news on the first pitch Arizona front.
Yes, we did.
Between us, we've got some flights booked. So we are still far away, and even for first pitch, registration is not even open yet through Baseball HQ. So we will certainly let you know when it is, but our flights are booked. We get in Wednesday night, November 5th, and then we leave that Sunday, the 9th. First pitch is the 6th through the 9th for anyone, again, far away, but honestly not. If you're trying to convince the spouse, make plans, whatever, save the date, November 6th through 9th in Arizona. We will both officially be there because we just booked our flights.
Yep, golf will be on that Thursday, the 6th, for the, is it the
fourth annual Bubba the Bloom Invitational. Yes,
fourth annual, hopefully.
We'll have the fifth major.
The fifth major, and hopefully we'll have that location locked in. I don't want to say anything yet in case it's not, but we're hoping to return to our stomping grounds. Let's put it that way. That's the ideal situation if all things could take place there, and we'll get a sign-up sheet going in no time, because as Ryan said, it's 5 months out, but wrangling all you lovely people takes time. So we're going to start getting that going here sooner than later as well. So we won't be bugging you guys with FPAS every episode like we do towards FPAS season, but we were kind of pumped texting to each other today, kind of locking in airfare, and you know, it's an awesome time. So we're pretty excited about it.
Absolutely. And we beat you beat the Southwest deadline by one day. So for free bags before they start charging and lose. Well, we already ditched them as our official airline of the show, but it becomes official May 28th.
Yep, I have some gift cards I still have to use up before I can officially ditch them, but I thought I was being smart.
We need prizes for
buying them on sale at Costco over the winter during Christmas time, but that backfired in a big way. There it goes.
Is there an expiration date on the gift card?
I'll find a way to use them. I might just take a couple trips back and forth to like San Diego to watch the Giants or something. I'll do something, but we'll have some fun with that. In the chat here, we got Scott Burke saying, I go to California for a week and Bubba loses his internet and the Angels win 8 in a row. What is going on? Yeah, yes, 8 in a row, and now they can't win again because it's the Angels. And they're signing Oscar Colas and Chris Taylor and all kinds of just legends of the game.
They are on a tear in the free agent front. Absolutely.
Yes, it's a beautiful, beautiful situation there. But Ryan, let's get into a couple of little tidbits of news here. Nothing too crazy. Some things took place over the weekend. Just wanted to get your thoughts on these. As if you're a Diamondbacks fan, please stay away from all sharp objects right now. Yeah. Alex Bregman to the IL with what was being described as a pretty bad, is what I'll say. I don't want to say severe, but bad quad strain. There's no timetable yet, except he's going to miss a lot of time, is what they're saying. Obviously, Marcelo Meyer got called up and has been doing pretty darn good his first couple of games. What's your thoughts on this whole Boston situation as they still also need a first baseman?
Yeah, I won't kind of pile on what you all probably heard on other shows at this point, but I was certainly interested in Marcelo Meyer. Like, I got him actually, it's almost like instant buyer's remorse in FAB, and the two 12 teamers I'm in, one of them is our Vegas listener league. And then the other one is
side note, the Vegas Listener League. probably the most competitive league I've ever played in. It's insane. It is like, I'm not just saying that because there are listeners, but it's like, I wasn't the first to say it. Timothy said it in the Discord. It's the most competitive, ridiculous. Like, I think I've been anywhere from first to sixth, and I'm only like 4 points out of first every time. You're moving up the rank. Like, it's tight as hell. It's
I was 11th for a while, and I'm now up to like sixth. It was a fun league to draft, but it has been a blast in Fab every week. I actually, so in that league, I got Marcelo Mayer. I got him for 45, the backup of 13. And then in my whatever other 12 team, I think like $60 for Mayer. And I was like, did I overspend? Cause it's always my 15 team brain working there. I'm trying to adapt it to 12s. But anyway, I mean, the biggest thing with Mayer for me was the extent of the Bregman injury. Like, I always, if I'm going to bid on somebody, I need to know they have some kind of leash, because almost zero rookies hit the ground running and keep it running for a couple weeks after that. So I think Mayer at least has a fair amount of run. Hope to see Roman Anthony up soon to join him. But I was pretty aggressive in Mayer. We'll see what happens. So also Fab the mascot in the Vegas League, by the way, Luis Rengifo, $10 unopposed. Just throw that in there.
Yeah, he's been on a rough slide, but I could see the appeal.
He's been terrible.
Chances. Yeah, I'm trying to say it nicely. He's been absent. There's the reason he wasn't been, opposed.
He is actually, to take this thing full circle, like I put this in the Discord the other day, like Luis Rengifo is the Gene Segura mascot right now. One home run, one steal, hitting like 220 for the entire 2 months. Like, that's literally doing nothing in your lineup.
So. Yep, I concur.
Torch has been passed.
Fully with that one, but the Fab's been wild. Like, I want to get your thoughts on this, because talked about it and we'll get back to the news, but this is kind of what we do on Tuesdays. It's more of a loose show with Bloomboards. It really dawned on me when I was recapping my Fab bids with Ben earlier today for Bench with Bubba, and I know as the season goes on, and especially in 12s, it's heavily talked about that people kind of start checking out. You see bids not happening, no, like unopposed and all that kind of stuff. It seems like it's happening a ton already at the end of May. We're week 10, a little over a third of the way through the season. Are you noticing that in your leagues, or am I just kind of, I know you're more of a 15 guy, but does it seem like the Fab competition is starting to lighten up already, or am I overlooking at this?
I haven't noticed it. Like, it hasn't stuck out to me. I haven't looked at it like much in detail at this point, but no, it hasn't. It has not stuck out to me yet.
Okay, just a curiosity on my part. Yeah. All right, next bit of news here, Miguel Amaya. We know he went to the IL with an oblique strain over the weekend. Reese McGuire is up. He's hitting dongs all over the place. And he hit double donged in the first game. So that's what's taking place there.
Just waiting for a Reese McGuire dong.
No, nope, wasn't going to go there. I'm a mature individual here, Ryan.
Yeah.
Carson Kelly, he missed his third straight start on Tuesday. He came in and pinch hit, so he should be back there. The reason I bring this up, Miguel Amaya, we found out on Tuesday, is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks with the oblique injury. I've given my thoughts on this one. It'll also be on the Breakfast with Bubba that comes out tomorrow morning. What are your thoughts on Miguel Amaya?
I probably think he is a drop. I think it's too hard to hold somebody for that long. And I also think I think the catcher market, at least so far, has been pretty fruitful. Like, there have been good Fab ads at catcher. It's a deep position anyway. I know I'm preaching to catcher, man. You're shaking your head, so I don't know if you're looking to score.
Yoan Moncada just hit a solo homer off Devin Williams' lead off the ninth.
Well, you know, Yoan Moncada's a beast. I wouldn't think that is a bad thing.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
Yeah, you're good. I think Amaya's a drop. I think it's tough to hold three catchers. I think it's too long for me to hold on to a dead spot.
Yeah, he's a drop for me as well. Fab or IL leagues try to do it, but there's probably more important IL guys to keep. So,
right,
exactly. Maya's a drop at this point in time, unfortunately. Nick Kurtz goes to the IL with a hip flexor strain. He pulled it in, I believe, the 10th inning over the weekend. Missed Sunday's game, missed Monday's game, and goes to the IL on Tuesday. I think we're holding. It's just a shame because he just started hitting very well this past week.
That's the thing for me. It was like the ultimate, like, worst timing for Nick Kurtz. It was all happening for him right now. And yeah, bad timing. Hopefully minimum, near minimum. You're definitely holding Nick Kurtz based on what he saw or what he showed that last week. Do you know much about CJ Alexander? Because I don't. He was strong side platoon now, it looks like, at first base.
I'd rather have Logan Davidson, I believe, is going to be on that part of the platoon as well. He's
I don't know who that is either. So
this is what PT Tomorrow does for you, Ryan. I have to know these guys too. He's a much better. Like, he got the start the first game. Kurtz missed two for four, a couple doubles. I like his upside a lot, but as I haven't even tried to keep up with it, the A's have made about 17 moves line change in the last like 48 hours, and there's going to be a whole lot of platooning until someone gets comfortable. Essentially,
yeah,
and that's gonna make it very difficult.
Looking at their bench, I mean, Willie McIver, who I did not know who he was until Sunday when
he had create a player, dude. That's straight up out of some movie on Comedy Central.
It is MacGyvered, and then Drew Avons. Don't know who that is either. So I need to brush up on these youths coming up in the Athletics.
And it's really weird because again, PT Tomorrow, I try to look for the guys that should be getting called up soon. Most of these were not on the radar. Like, this is a really weird set of names coming up. So I don't know if it's just because they're here to fill in for now or what's going on. So I have no clue what the A's are doing right now, to be honest with you. All right, Nate Eovaldi, we hit on it. I want to get your thoughts here. We didn't have a candlelight vigil tonight because it feels like things are going to be okay. But he left with triceps soreness. But immediately the Ranger said he's going to be okay. He won't miss a start. And I'm saying, how can you make that analysis right away? I have no idea. Thoughts, my friend?
You just hope for the best. I mean, this is so, like, I shouldn't be too surprised, right? This is part of the deal with Nate Eovaldi. And I know I'm fully biased in my love for Nate Eovaldi the past few years, like the original Bloom Boards legend, just such a great season. So you hate to see an injury, but you know, it's part of the deal. You hope you get 150, 160 innings out of Nate Eovaldi when you drafted him this preseason. He had 171 last year. That would be gravy if he repeated that. But I think this is part of the deal. And at this point, you just hope. I don't believe anything that Texas said the night of the injury. But there's nothing else you can do. Just hope for the best. Hold on as long as you can. And hopefully it's minimal. I mean, missing no starts would seem weird, but Christopher Sanchez did it, I guess. And we were all very skeptical of that earlier this season. Seems like that has worked out so far, but I don't know. I'm worried about my guy, but what else can you do?
Especially a guy that has had injury history. Let's put it that way.
Oh yeah, big time. And he's old. This was part of the calculus in drafting Eovaldi. I thought he's really good. It's just how many innings are you going to get? So
yeah, this is not me barreling on because I am rooting for Nate the Great as well. So this is a bummer on all accounts. All right, that wraps up a little bit of news and notes. Not a ton. There's more like, hey, there's like 15 guys about to start rehabs. That's more the news right now, but that's just speculating on things. So we'll keep you updated on that on Breakfast with Bubba. Just go check that out. Let's get after your Bloom Board for the evening, which is one that members have access to 24/7.
All right. This is going to be a show about last 30 days for pitchers, risers and fallers in terms of skills. And so this is a broader part. We did a few weeks ago, we did episodes on year-to-date hitters, year-to-date pitchers, Bloom Boards, but this is all part of this live Bloom Boards tool that anybody who is on the Patreon, subscribe to the Patreon, supports the show, has access to, and it's updated every single day. So there's 5 tabs to this thing. You have access to it immediately. There's a teams tab, so you can get platoons and last 30 days and that sort of thing at the team level. Year-to-date hitters, year-to-date pitchers, last 30 hitters, and last 30 pitchers. So it's just kind of a set of pre-made Bloom Boards that run and update every single day, depending on what happens. So what we're looking at tonight, we are exactly 2 months into the season. Bubba, it was March 27th, I believe, was opening day. So it is a pretty good time to look at these last 30-day splits for pitchers. We're not going to talk about everybody, but on this page, we've got 4 preset Bloom Boards looking at the highest risers and the biggest fallers in strikeout minus walk rate over the last 30 days, stuff plus, fastball velocity, and then overall pitch mix change along with whether or not it's working. So those are the 4 kind of pre-made sets of boards that you get as part of this. And again, updated every day. It's a really good, the last 30-day tab ones I am checking almost every day because as we'll talk about with some of these guys this evening, like guys get off to good starts, guys get off to slow starts, and that kind of gets ingrained in your head that they're having a good or bad season. It's very important to kind of keep on track with that every month as the season goes on.
All right, we'll get cracking. But first off, Carlos Marcana jumping in saying,
Carlos,
hey guys, good to see you, hear from you, Carlos. Hope you're doing well, my friend.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get after it. We'll start with the K to walk percentage, our go-to pitching stat over here at Bubba and the Bloom. Last 30 days, risers and fallers. And again, we're not going to hit on them all, but I just want to highlight the fact Tarik Skubal's gone from a 21 to a 42%. It's just asinine. Just yeah. How good he's been. So I just want to throw that one out into the ether for a second. But Randy Vasquez, we don't have to talk deep into this, but we clown on him, many people, not just us, about how he's got this high whip, K to walk's garbage, keeps doing it though. Just keeps getting the, you know, he's almost Tyler Anderson, but worse, if that makes sense. So he went from a minus 8 K to walk to a 10% K to walk for a 17% jump. But still, I remember 10%, not good. But does this give you any hope going forward, Ryan?
No, not really. It's bad when you're the fourth highest riser in strikeout minus walk from month one to month two. And you've still got a 10% K minus walk. Just as a kind of level set, that league average is like 16-ish%. So Randy Vasquez has basically gone from the worst pitcher in baseball to someone who is still bad. And so, like, I guess if I'm not totally piling on Randy Vasquez, I guess you could say he could go from someone you just totally avoid or stream against to somebody who might be rosterable in the right matchup week or something. But outside of that, I don't see much with Randy Vasquez, even in the second month of the season. Like the swinging strike, the ball rate moderately improved, but still a ways to go for Randy Vasquez to be rosterable.
With you there. The first one I really want to talk about though is Mr. Will Warren of the New York Yankees. 13% K to walk in the first 30 days, last 30 days, 28% for a 15% jump. Will Warren has been outstanding over his last four starts. He's allowed two earned runs or less in all four starts. He has at least seven strikeouts in those four starts. He has a total of 33 Ks in those four starts. If you go back to his fifth start, which we count in this mess, he has 41 strikeouts over his last five starts. The walk rate obviously has gotten better as well to correlate with this. What do you have on Will Warren? Because he has been great. He has been a phenomenal waiver wire pickup we talked about a few weeks ago. If you're able to jump on him then, which I got in one league and I'm loving every minute of it. This seems pretty darn real.
It does seem pretty darn real and awfully sustainable, at least lately with Will Warren. We've mentioned him on our last couple of fab shows, right? And I think at this point, the fab ship has sailed with Will Warren, but I think you've got somebody, if he pitches anywhere near he has so far in May, that could be an absolute coup for fab. Will Warren should get plenty of run support while he's pitching. The biggest thing for me with Will Warren is just a general teaching with this, like I look at strikeout minus walk as kind of our ultimate metric. If you want to go one level further, I look at swinging strike rate to see how many bats are being missed. Is that a good number? Is that supporting the strikeout rate? And then ball percentage on the flip side for walk rate. Are they throwing strikes? Is that supporting a drop in walk rate? For Will Warren, the swinging strike's 13.5%, which is awesome. That's 2 points above league average. Really good. Will Warren's missing a ton of bats. Doing against, I think, pretty decent competition too. That's what you also want to check with these things is like, over the last 30 days, you know, who are those starts against and kind of look at the game logs if you're taking a deeper dive with some of these guys. But you just tack on like the age, you know, pretty decent prospect pedigree with Will Warren. Seems like it's coming together nicely for him. So you ride this for as long as you can.
And it just goes back. This is why you want to do this exercise 2 months in. We got basically two 30 game samples, our 30 day samples that we're looking at here. And it's like Warren was a helium guy in draft season because of, hey, he's going to get a fifth starter spot. The prospect pedigree looked pretty good in spring. So, like, just checked all the boxes. Came out looking rough. That's why he was back on the waiver wire. Like, it was bad. People were dropping him. But it's one of those, like, we always say with young kids is they might start out bad. It's how long do they get to try to improve at the big league level? And so far, so good for Will Warren. We'll see where it goes, as you said. But definitely one of those, like, I understood the drop. Totally got it. But this is guys at least showing the skills that we once thought he might have. Merrill Kelly is one that, through doing matchups and whatnot, has really interested me of late. Let's put it that way. First 30 days, 10% K to walk. Last 30 days, 24% for a 15% increase when things are all said and done. Merrill Kelly gave up 9 runs in his second start of the year against the Yankees. Since then, it's been 3 earned runs or less in 8 of his 9 starts. He gave up 4 earned runs in his last start, but still struck out 6 and walked 1, which goes to this chart here. He had 11 Ks, 8 Ks, 6 Ks in the starts prior to that. He had 3 starts with 0 walks over this stretch. On the season, 58 strikeouts to 16 walks in 64 innings. 3.52 ERA, the xFIP's 3.53. Like, he's looking phenomenal on the mound. And I was extremely skeptical of him coming into the season.
Yep.
Not saying it's fully out of the weeds for me, because I still know who Merrill Kelly is. But I respect the heck out of what he's doing. And if I am rostering Merrill Kelly, I do feel a lot better about pitching him pretty much every start out there right now.
Yeah, I mean, and this is a prime example of someone who, like, I love Merrill Kelly. Last year, because this was a guy coming off like 275 plus inning seasons, like workhorse, good ratios, and then last year it just fell apart, and now he's an old, and he comes out and gives up, like you said, that 9 earned run outing against the Yankees, and it's like I basically just said, wrote him off, and this type of thing is a good indicator to say, hey, Merrill Kelly has actually pitched extremely, extremely well lately. So I'm with you. I'm not fully back in, mostly because of the age. Like, what does this look like in the second half for Merrill Kelly? But man, everything in May supports what Merrill Kelly's been doing on the mound. And it's been pretty sweet. Like, I wonder how many, I mean, I would think Merrill Kelly was pretty widely available in Fab after that Yankee start.
I'd imagine he was getting the quick hook after that 9 in runs, because there was a lot of concern coming into the season with him. So probably was a nice little pickup when things are all said and done, especially with as garbage as Zach Gallen is. So it's got that going for him.
Stray taken.
Oh, I dropped him this week, so don't you worry about it.
Did you?
In my 12, I dropped him, yeah. Kept him in 15s. 12, he's gone. I dropped Sandy 2 weeks ago, dropped Gallen this week, because I told Ben, I'm like, in a 12, if I'm not going to start him, I don't need to roster him. Like, he's just sitting on my bench. I can use that for something else. So he's gone. I want to get your thoughts on this next one, and that is Charlie Morton. Charlie Morton, 3% K to walk the first 30 days, got demoted to the bullpen. He's come back to the rotation. It's up to 16%, which is still we want higher, but it's like around average, so we can live with that. 13% increase over the 2 months. And Morton has rejoined the rotation, as I said, and he went 6 innings, 2 runs, 5 Ks against St. Louis. He pitched in long relief against Washington, 4 1/3, 1 walk, 6 Ks. The last 2 outings have been much more Charlie Morton-esque. I'm just curious, are you seeing anything? Are you believing in this? What are your thoughts on this? Because it started out horrifically. He goes to the pen. Things are starting to look better, and it looks like he might be rejoining the rotation permanently, at least for the time being.
Yeah, and you always this one's a little tricky with Morton, because I'm always skeptical of, like, or not skeptical, but like, you always want to look when someone goes to the bullpen and back. It's like, are they just gassing out of the bullpen? Is it, you know, what's going on there? In Morton's case, like, I don't know if it's totally gassing it out. He has picked up a full mile an hour on his fastball, so that's probably a good thing. The fastball velocity was 93.5 in April, 94.5 in May, and it's not like Morton was going back to like a 1 or 2 inning, you know, gas it out type of stint. It was, like you said, 4 1/3 against the Nats. It was 3 innings, 2 innings, 4 innings out of the pen. So I think Charlie Morton, I think the strikeouts can still be there. I like that. I think Charlie Morton is back to being someone I would want to say trust in 15 teamers, but I would pick back up in 15 teamers in the right matchups. I don't know about 12s just yet. But Charlie Morton, yeah, 16% K to walk over the last 30 days. Like, that is, for as bad as it started, it is nice to see him kind of rebound with a higher velocity and better skills over the last month, now that, you know, almost everyone, ourselves included, have laid him out for dead.
Yep, I'm with you. Like, the improved velocity, I thought, has been really interesting. The fact he kept it in that start was a big yep. plus to me on that one. Like you said, because we see a lot of these boards, and it's like, oh, he pitched, you know, 7 of those 8 outings out of the bullpen where, yeah, you gas it up. So that's a good point you made there on that. And curious to see how it goes forward with Morton. And
yeah. I mean, he is old. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, he's 40. He's even older than me.
He's 41, man.
So he's for pretty much the same. Like, now I got to see when his birthday is. No,
yeah, you guys might have the same birthday.
Yeah.
This guy's ancient as hell.
I got him by like barely a month. I'm October 15th. He's October 12th or November 12th. So I barely got him.
November 12th, 1983, Flemington, New Jersey.
Yep. Yep. We're close, but not.
You got him by a month.
He still has to respect his elders. Yes.
Okay. Good for you, man. So who in the major leagues is still
Justin Verlander? That's older than me.
Older than you.
Justin Verlander.
That's it.
That's the one I know for sure. Like, I'd have to go to Baseball Reference and look up the ages of people, but I know for sure Justin Verlander is.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, you're old, man.
You're getting there too, big guy. Just don't you worry. All right, let's shift to the fallers on this one. Erod has fallen dramatically, went on the IL. Like, the ship, I think, has sailed on that one. I want to talk to you about Ryan Gusto, because I feel like last time we did a live leaderboard, Gusto was on the green everywhere. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, this guy's great. Pitch mix great. He's doing this. He's doing that. And things have rapidly changed on this. He's gotten so far as to go to AAA, gets called back up because of injuries, gets shelled again. He's still in the rotation for now. We'll see where this all goes. But he goes from a 20% K to walk early on down to a 4% over the last month. That's a 16% drop for you to keep in track at home. And it's been 3 walks and 6 Ks, 2 walks and 1 K, 3-2, 2-0. That ain't going to cut it, folks. So where are you at now on Ryan Gusto, who once was giving us his gusto, but now not so much anymore?
Yeah, not so much anymore. And this is, I mean, this is the, and I know we're looking at small samples, so I realize this is somewhat ironic, but even with pitchers, this is the danger of looking at tiny samples and going on. And I would also counter that with, you, when we're making fab decisions, we don't have much else to go on, and we can't really wait for someone like Ryan Gusto to be good for 2 months in a row before you can pick him up. But yeah, it's been tough for Gusto, and it's also been like against pretty bad teams lately. So most recent start against Seattle, before that is bullpen at Texas, but Kansas City gave up those 7 runs, and then the White Sox in 2/3 of an inning. So it's not like he's been facing tough opponents lately. So pretty tough fall for Ryan Gusto. I think he still has a rotation spot for a little while because the Astros are just beat up. But yeah, I think we're back to maybe this was someone who is now 26 years old with pretty much a journeyman, and there's probably a reason for that. So someone who's probably a bit over his head the first month.
Totally agree with you there. And someday we'll see AJ Blueball again someday. I wanted to highlight Ryan Nelson because I think this goes to your point about Charlie Morton. He had a 25% K to walk earlier, strictly out of the bullpen. Changes to 9% as he becomes a starter slash reliever, going back and forth type situation. And essentially it was one bad 4 walk to 2 strikeout performance. He's had a couple not great ones, but that was the one that stung his second to 30 days window we're talking about here. What are you seeing with Nelson? Because he's probably going to go back to the bullpen next week when Erod returns after one more start. So this might not be as dramatic, I'm thinking.
I think this is kind of just the same Ryan Nelson we've seen, and it's a streamable starter, maybe, but a back-end starter, in my opinion. I mean, the guy's never had a 9% swinging strike in any season in his major league career. Like, that's pretty bad, and that includes this season as well. So then you tack on, right, Erod is coming back, so Ryan Nelson maybe gets the one more start, but that's probably it. So yeah, I'm no longer interested in Oregon Duck Ryan Nelson.
I'm still getting that one more start this week, and then sayonara, buddy.
Did you pick him up?
Yeah, I did. I'd rather have him for cheap. Logan Evans was great tonight in his one. I was hoping maybe get 2 starts. He got 1. I'd rather have them over like the Michael Lorenzens of the world that already blew up this week. So that's where my head was at. Max Meyer is one that needs to be discussed, because we actually talked to some, it was mentioned in the Discord tonight. And like, I've benched slash dropped him already lately, the last like 3 weeks or so. Started out guns blazing, 28% K to walk, down to 10% the last 30 days. That's an 18% drop. Dreadful, dreadful stuff. This is the guy, and even in that 30-day window, he had a 0 walk, 7 K performance to top it off, but it's been rather brutal, and stats not even included. It's tonight's start, 2 tonight. Walks and no strikeouts to make it even worse. Like, if this updates tomorrow, when if you have this sheet, it's going to be even worse when you look at it. So I don't know, man, this is not good at all.
This is not good at all. And you're right. When this updates tomorrow, Max Meyer probably will be at the bottom of this list. You know, my little grid you make fun of me about taking out the one bad start. You could almost do the reverse with Max Meyer and take out the one good start.
Oh, the 14 Ks with no walks. Oh man. Yeah. I just noticed that.
14 K. He had 14 Ks, no walks against Cincinnati on April 21st. And again, this is why, like, if you want to take a deeper dive in some of these guys, you kind of need to look at the game logs, because we're only looking at 30 days, maybe four or five starts at a time. Outside of one start, pretty much Max Meyer, like, hasn't been that great. Like, that 14 strikeout, no walk, that's doing a lot of lifting for that 28% K minus walk on the before column of this board. So, yeah, it's just the way things are trending with Max Meyer is not great. And then, I mean, you kind of have to remove yourself from the numbers here for the current season numbers as well, and just take a broader picture look at Max Meyer. It's like, how long can we really trust, given the health history, given the way the Marlins have kind of yanked him around these last couple of years? Like, how much can we truly trust Max Meyer going forward? So I'm of the opinion that we can, especially after tonight's outing, I think we can move on in 12s and do a stream there. You gave him the finger flick, so it's not just me. I like that.
No, he's gone. He gone. Last one I want to ask about here, then we'll move on to the three other boards that we have for the evening, is Shane Boss. Because to me, it's similar to the Max Meyer situation for me. Shane Boss started out the season great. He is even better than Max Meyer, one might say. Over the last month, though, since May 1st, dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. The walks are up, strikeouts are down. He's given up runs like crazy. This was a concern that you and I kind of had going into the season. What's the workload going to be? How's he going to deal with the workload? There's a lot of questions with Shane Boss. I don't know if that's the primary reason things are getting bad, but it's kind of correlating to me. What do you see when you dig into Shane Boss? Because it has been a quick and steady regression from start to start.
And even if the workload, like, isn't the reason for the last month's struggles, it's a damn concerning thing going forward, because Shane Boss is now entering his third month coming off of a really bad May. And this is somebody who, right, didn't even pitch in 2023, only threw like 40 innings in 2022, had 110 or whatever across two levels last year. But you just wonder, like, how does this hold up going forward? So, I was off Shane Boss. I was looking like an early L for me, the way Shane Boss started, but it's not trending well. And I don't see, like, as we go deeper into the season, Shane Boss, you know, kind of the poster boy for pitcher injuries and just lack of workload, I don't see how this gets a whole lot better. Like, maybe it gets better from a 3% K to walk, like, that is really bad, but it's tough for me to see, like, a second half resurgence here, given just how he has not pitched deep into seasons in his entire career.
Yep. Completely agree with you there. All right, let's go to the Stuff Plus board, Ryan, if you want to give everybody a little idea of what we're looking at here. It's pretty self-explanatory, I think, but I'll let you have the role here.
It's self-explanatory, but it's also very tricky, because I think we had a question on this in the Discord, too. So I do want to, before we even talk about, like, players, I do want to take a little bit of time and obviously get your thoughts, too, at least on how I treat Stuff Plus. So what Stuff Plus is, for those that don't even know what Stuff Plus is, this is a metric available on Fangraphs. This is Eno Saris's kind of brainchild, and the data is all there. It's basically one number that quantifies a pitcher's stuff, velocity, movement, break, all that stuff, no pun intended, of how, like, good a pitcher's, like, true stuff is, their true arsenal. It's pretty polarizing. Like, I definitely don't think you should just look at one number for Stuff Plus and be like, this guy's good, this guy's not. I think pitching is way more nuanced than that. But I think what you can do, and this is why I've included it on the last 30 pitcher board here, is a jumping off point to say something has changed in this pitcher's arsenal. It might be pitch mix, it might be velocity, it might be movement, but something has obviously changed, either good or bad, with this Stuff Plus number. Stuff Plus league average is 100, so anything better than 100 is good, anything below 100 is bad, so that's also easy to understand. But I can take a look at a list like this and see 15 guys, or sorry, 20 guys, 10 risers, 10 fallers, and know that something has changed. And so what I would do with this is not automatically target, for example, Griffin Canning, because he's the highest riser in Stuff Plus over the last month. But that's a kind of a trigger for me to go look at Griffin Canning. Who's the competition been against? What are the strikeouts? What are the kind of my more go-to metrics? So for me, this is just a way to highlight guys and not to like jump into players, but like I see Charlie Morton here, a jump from 97 to 103 stuff plus. Again, I don't know exactly what that means in terms of like what the calculation is, but I know that his arsenal has gone from below average to above average over the last month. And we just saw Charlie Morton on that last board of strikeout to strikeout minus walk risers. So something good is going on with Charlie Morton. And so therefore I'm even more interested in him. So I don't know if you have any, that was kind of long winded, but just want to get that one out there. I mean, do you look at stuff plus? If you do, like, how do you look at it? What's your kind of take on that?
I don't look at it often. I'm a caveman, but I like when it's on a board like this, I will look at it. I don't go searching for it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I normally don't either.
Yeah. So like when it's put nicely in this for me, I'm in. And I agree with most of what you're saying there. It's like, if I see a big jump, it's like to me, and I know this is probably going to be really rude to Eno, but it's not intended. It's like when you look at X stats, you see like a massive gap. Okay. Now, like, what's the reasoning for this? If it's a small gap, I don't care. Mm-hmm. But if it's like a massive gap, like that's something I can look at quickly to dig in, as you're saying. So if it's a quick, like, hey, like the Charlie Morton thing, and it checks out to what we just talked about, as you said, like, hey, maybe there's something here. Maybe it's the increased fastball and so on and so forth. Because I'm with you. I have no idea what – I still can't figure out what stuff plus is made of. I have no idea. I've right. heard many people try to
explain it. Well, no, it's not yeah. really available. So
yeah,
no
one so really knows. And it seems like it changes every year. So I don't know what goes on with it. But it's to your point, it's a good reference to kind of check there. And I think Eno has talked about it really changes a lot with relievers. So it helps you kind of highlight those mm-hmm. kind of guys more so than starters. And you're probably talking about that as well. So yeah, it's the big changes that stand out to me. And what's interesting is when we think big changes, you think big changes, but the highest risers is 7, 6, 6. So it's not like it's a big number. It's kind of a minute number. So then it comes down to what does that entail? But it right. could, like you said, it shows Charlie Morton. It's interesting. Like you have your cursor on it there. Ryan Nelson is
that's
one of
who
the
I want to bring up,
risers,
right? But
he's a massive faller in K to walk. So yeah.
And for me, if I look at a rise in stuff plus for Ryan Nelson, but it hasn't translated to strikeouts or even whiffs, and the skills are not there, I am still off of Ryan Nelson, even though he shows up on this list. Because hey, at least it gave me a little trigger to look at Ryan Nelson. And I don't like what I see lately from Ryan Nelson in terms of actual results and skills. So, you know, it's someone like who I'm
Max Meyer's on the list. We just buried Max Meyer. So,
yep. Yeah. And granted, went from 91 to 96. So went from really bad to still
below
average. Right. So that's another thing to look at with these increases. It can be the Randy Vasquez situation where you go from one of the worst to still being bad, and technically that's a rise, but still someone I'm not interested in. So I think it's just important to take a look at this list and still think with your own brain. Someone's on this list, take a look, see if you actually like them in terms of the kind of the numbers that you like to use, and make your determination that way.
Fair. That's a fair assessment. I do want to mention a couple of the fallers here, just if anything is to highlight some pitchers to discuss for a second.
Yep.
And I want to go straight to the bottom. I want to go to Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes, he was at a 118 stuff plus to start the year. It's down to 103. So this is, again, just speculations here. But dude was really good early on. Strikeouts have slowly dwindled compared to the early start of the season. And to me, my question is, does this showcase a guy that was a reliever turned starter, that starters' workloads maybe are already starting to catch up to him? Or is this where it's all a big what if, because I don't know what stuff plus entails. But if you look at his performances,
right,
they have been like he was dominant early. Now it's kind of more of a, I don't know, he's giving him more home runs, let's put it that way, in the second half.
I think it all aligns. So yes, the stuff plus for Clay Holmes is way down from really good. 118 is awesome, down to league average. But again, that's a trigger. Let me look and see what Clay Holmes actually done in terms of strikeout whiffs and that sort of thing. It's just as bad, right? In May, it's been a 17% strikeout rate for Clay Holmes. That's brutal. It was 30% in April. The swinging strike is way down for Clay Holmes. I would be very concerned with Clay Holmes, who has a 2.98 ERA. You look at like the Sierra skills base, what the ERA should be, that's a 3.80. And then again, ultimately, if we're kind of projecting forward over a full season, you almost have to weigh in what this looks like for Clay Holmes in the second half. So maybe it's obvious to some, but I don't, in every league out there, trading leagues, like I think Clay Holmes is a pretty like banner sell high type of guy for someone who has a sub 3 ERA. Things are not trending well, both in terms of like the raw stuff, but then also the performance recently in the skills. So I'm concerned about Clay Holmes.
In a similar vein, I want to look at Drew Rasmussen. I wrote him up for matchups, and it really opened my eyes to, like, he's shutting the door. He hasn't given up a run in his last two starts. He's given up three earned in each of his three before that, but it's 3Ks, 5Ks, 3Ks, 2Ks, 3Ks, where earlier in the year he was a strikeout machine. Strikeouts have just gone away, so he's not blowing people away. He's going five or six innings. He's just not dominating, and it leaves me concerned. Does that mean he's going to start getting more balls in play? Are we seeing – it's a decrease in a ton of factors, essentially. So to see that drop from very, very good to still above average, which is nice, but it is a drop nonetheless.
It is a drop, and it's a big drop in swinging strike. It's that drop from 12 down to 8% from April to May for Drew Rasmussen, and the ball rate's up from 32% up to league average, 36%. So again, this is something where the skills are aligned with kind of what these advanced pitching models are showing here as well. So also for me, cause for concern for Drew Rasmussen, who also has a sub 3 ERA, just like Clay Holmes, 2.60 ERA, but I'm not buying it. The Sierra is up 3.62. So it's in agreement there too.
And then I just want to throw this out here, cause it feels like the flip side, you got Corbin Burnes going from 112 to 102, but he's gotten better in the second 30 day stretch. Even strikeouts have been up. Now, the walks are still a problem, but he's giving up fewer runs. He's going deep into games. So I know a lot of this has to do with the pitch mixes, and there's a lot of factors to it. Let's talk about it. But it's just interesting to see a couple guys that are definitely on the decline. And then there's Burnes, who's actually pitching better, but he's on the stuff plus decline.
Yeah, and this is one where, like, especially with someone like Burnes, just let it ride. Like, he is pitching better of late. Like, the performance has been better, the skills have been better. If I've got one set of data that's saying one thing and like stuff plus is saying another, I'm going to typically go with the strikeouts, walks. I think over time, and even Eno will say this, at a certain point, just use strikeout, walk, and whiffs and that sort of thing. And that's what I'm going to do if they disagree. But yeah, you know, this is a list where, like, the top 10 are not automatically all buys. The bottom 10 are automatically sells. You gotta look a little bit deeper into what they're doing.
Yep, totally agree. All right, let's hit to fastball velocity, which is definitely a good one to maybe start peeking at. I'm guessing there'll be some matches to some K to walk stuff and other things here and there throughout the list.
Yeah, I think with fastball velocity, I mean, obviously very straightforward what this is, but this is just looking for rises or falls in fastball velo from the last month versus before that. I think you get interested. I always think a jump in fastball velocity is always somewhat of a double-edged sword, but I think in season, a jump in fastball velocity, if the strikeouts, walks are there as well, like that's a good thing, and you're already in the season, so like you might as well just go with it. I'm also very concerned about a lot of the fallers that are on the list as well, just in terms of if you've got somebody who's down a mile and a half, it could be two things or both. It could be injury, of course, right? If you're not throwing as hard, but just sheer effectiveness too. I think everyone has a baseline level of how good they are. And if your fastball is X amount faster or X amount slower, I think you're that much better or worse of a pitcher as well. So I think it is important to kind of always track who's throwing harder, who's not over the last month of the season.
Yeah, and it's obviously there's a certain threshold, as some will tell you, for the miles per hour to be concerned about. But right. I'm much more, as the season goes on, it's the decreased guys, and then that makes me want to look at production more than anything, because the guys that keep throwing harder, you know, if they get hurt eventually, they get hurt eventually. There's nothing I can do about that. But they're probably playing pretty well. Like, Sale's gotten better as his velocity's gone up. Skubal's just a beast. Eovaldi, Wheeler, like, these guys are all – awesome. Even Pagan. I don't know. Nola probably doesn't have any numbers from the last 30 days. That's why it's pretty flat. So he's got that going for him.
I was waiting for the Aaron Nola shout out that he's on the list.
We can probably, actually, he's not really coming back till the mid to late June. So we'll have to wait like two more months to review that one with Aaron Nola. But yeah. So I don't have a lot for up top here. I want to look more at the guys in the bottom. Unless you have anybody up top you'd like to discuss.
Not really. I think the Chris Sale one, I don't know if there's actual concern out there with Chris Sale, but it wasn't the best start to the season. But to see him jump from, you get concerned about like a dip in velocity early in the season. Yep. To see Chris Sale rebound to 95, and a half miles an hour from 94 and a half in the first month of the season, that is always a good thing. But I don't have too much else on the risers.
All right. I want to go from the bottom up. I want to go to Freddie Peralta. This is another guy that's pitching on Wednesday, so I looked at him for matchups, and this stood out to me in a big way. Because if you look at the season stats, 60 Ks in 60 innings, 23 walks on the season. That's a 14.9% K to walk. That's not what we want from Freddie Peralta. Dude's got a 2.55 ERA, but if you go deeper, it's a 3.95 Sierra. Still not what we want from Freddie Peralta. And more importantly, the last few outings, Ryan, like just from May 4th on, last four starts, 7 Ks within 4, 5, and 3. He's got 3, 2, and 3 walks over the last three. He's given up the long ball. He's only gone 4 and a third, 5 innings, and 5 and a third, so the innings are down while the production's down. I am very concerned with Freddie Peralta, to be totally honest, and people that listen to me during the preseason know how much I love Freddie Peralta, and when I looked at those lines deeper tonight, something doesn't seem right, let's put it that way.
And Freddie Peralta, he's fastball Freddie. He's so reliant on his fastball. Like some of these guys, you can deal with a drop in fastball velocity because they don't throw it that much or they've got really good secondaries. Like Freddie Peralta is 60% four-seam fastball. I mean, that's what he lives on. And if that is down, even if he's not hurt, if that's down, just going down from 95 to 94, I mean, that can matter. I mean, that can matter big time. Every tick matters. So I am with you in your concern with Freddie Peralta, especially with the lack of control. I mean, the lacking control has always kind of been a bugaboo for Freddie Peralta, but it's a 40% ball rate, which is really high. Like he's not throwing many strikes, and for the velocity to be down like that, I'm also concerned. He's also, I mean, he's not out of the woods. I mean, every pitcher gets hurt, but I think it's shoulder stuff with Freddie Peralta earlier in his career, at least. So you never know.
Yep, I'm with you there as well. Let's talk Taj Bradley. It's been tough to kind of gauge what Taj Bradley is this year, if that makes sense to anybody out there in the fantasy world. The velo's down about a mile per hour over the last 30 days. And if you just look at his game log, it's like 6 innings, 2 runs, 7 Ks. That's great. Tonight, 7 innings, 1 run, 6 Ks. Great. But then before that, 4 innings, 5 runs, 6 Ks. 6 innings, 2 runs, 5. But then 1K, 2K, 3K, 3K. It's been a very roller coastery season for Taj Bradley, if that makes sense. He seems healthy. He's young. Like I said, the last two starts have been great. So maybe this is just a blip on the radar. And it's still a very good, like 96 miles per hour, which isn't going to crush you by any means. But is there anything that you've seen that stands out to you with this diminished velocity?
I mean, I'm very concerned as well. Like for me, it's the combination again. Whenever you see drop in fastball velocity, there's also a drop in whiff rate. Like that's not great. It's down 3 whole points from 12.5 down to 9.5% this season. So that kind of validates the major drop in strikeouts for Taj Bradley. Don't like the park, but like even park aside, having a 10% strikeout minus walk with a drop in velocity like this, yeah, I'm very concerned about Taj Bradley as well. It's always if it's a drop in fastball velo with a drop in skills, I'm concerned.
Yep, that's fair enough. I want to leave a blanket statement here because we're going to talk about Hunter Brown, who went
not concerned.
Yes, that's where I was wanting to go with that. He looked pretty dang good again on Tuesday night. Like, I'm not worried there. I just wanted to bring that one up to kind of highlight the fact that we're not concerned about all of these guys, but there's definitely stuff to look at the same time.
If anything, this could be a good thing for Hunter Brown to not be gassing 97 and a half and be down to 96. Like, that's there's also this. I mean, if you all listen to the podcast for some time, like I've had that top 10 fastball velocity, not just me, a bunch of people have kind of picked up on that. Like basically anything above 97, if you're averaging that on your fastball, it's like kind of like you are going to get hurt at some point and probably sooner rather than later. So with Hunter Brown, if you've got a drop in fastball velocity, but the strikeouts are there, he's missing bats and you're only quote unquote down to 96.4. I think long-term health-wise, that's probably not a bad thing.
Yep. Totally with you there. Like Renault Blanco's on the list, injured.
The good Lord has lost his fastball. I don't know.
Good Lord, he's lost his way. I do have one question here, though, for you, because I'm a biased Cole Reagan's manager. Velocity's down from 95.6 to 94.9. Strikeouts haven't changed, but he has allowed four or more runs in four of his last five starts. I am going to be the naive guy, potentially, and say the velocity's down because he's been battling groin injuries for about a month. That's what I'm going to tick it off to. Do you see anything else? Because like I'm asking for an unbiased opinion, basically.
Yeah, no, I don't know, but that would certainly, like, anytime you have a drop with an injury, like, that would make sense. And even, I mean, even Cole Reagan's last three starts, 11 Ks, 2 walks, 8 Ks, 2 walks, 7 Ks, no walks. Like, just get healthy when Cole Reagan's is back. I think he's going to be Cole Reagan's again.
Yep, hopefully next week, folks. Hopefully next week. Rehab start this weekend, hopefully next week. So keep an eye on that one. All right, let's check out the last board here because I think there's a lot of names to discuss here, including one in the chat as well.
All right, last board is just a general change in pitch mix over the last 30 days. So not looking at like stuff or what pitches are good or bad or whatever. Who has changed their pitch mix the most from the last 30 days to before that? And again, very nuanced, but like a lot of things can come into factors here, but I just think in general, and I've always kind of said this on the podcast, pitchers can reinvent themselves, can change. And I think if you've got a pitcher who has changed their pitch mix and also shown an uptick in skills in general, that gets me excited. A change in pitch mix does not automatically mean it's a good thing. We have our leader here, Osvaldo Beto, has changed his pitch mix more than any player in Major League Baseball. Gets the flick from Bubba. He's in AAA, isn't he? Got sent down.
Yep, he is. He's riding the bus,
that is why. So on this board, we've got I make a score basically from 0 to 100. It's just the magnitude of the pitch mix change across your entire arsenal. But then right next to it, over the last 30 days, strikeout minus walk and your CSW, again, color coded, so you can just quickly tell if it is working or not, because that's the most important thing. You can change your pitch mix. If it doesn't work, it's not good.
Who's that guy below Osvaldo Beto?
It's my guy. It's Kyle Freeland, yeah, man.
No, I just want to throw that one out there. But
serviceable.
That's serviceable. Never mind. Hayden Birdsong, he checks the box here. 47 pitch mix score, 18.2% K to walk, near 30% CSW, ERA below 3. He's pitching great out of the pen. He's joined the rotation, pretty darn suitable in that regard. Also, third time through the order has been tricky so far, but overall been pretty good. I'm biased, of course. I think this is very sustainable. This is who we always thought Birdsong was. Birdsong is all about control. He's not walking, guys. Dude's lights out. Like, he's very good. Walks are his concern. Does this pitch mix change stand out to you to be maybe something he could use to prevent the control issues?
I mean, I think for Birdsong, it's just that transition, right, going to the rotation. Like, Birdsong now has – so the pitch mix change has been fewer four-seamers, fewer change-ups, but a lot more sliders and a lot more curveballs. He's like, curveball was kind of like a fourth pitch out of the bullpen, and that has now become something he's using almost 20% of the time. So Hayden Birdsong right now has four different pitches at 15% more usage. Like, that tells me he has, you know, and you can look at like the quality of some of the pitches, but like the changeup's really good. The curveball's meh. Slider's been pretty good, and the fastball's good as well. So like, I think this is Hayden Birdsong adapting his mix to that transition to the bullpen. I think it's working out pretty well so far.
Yep, I completely agree with you on that one. Ryan Gusto's on this board, kind of matches the disaster that we've seen. Changed his pitch mix up. It has not worked for him, is the best way I'll put it. Yep. Quinn Priester, not so much either. But look at Patrick Corbin, 12.5% K.
Oh, walk, you're gonna highlight Patrick
27.1%. Jesus, I had to throw it out. He's stunting on your boy Kyle Freeland, so it's okay.
He has been better than Kyle Freeland. Yeah, pains me.
Yeah. All right, so this is what I wanted to bring up. I know we had a question in Discord too, but we got one in the chat here, which takes precedent at this point in time. Carlos Marcano says, as a Soroka truther, I like seeing him on one of the boards and would love your opinion on him. So Soroka, checks in on this board with a 35 score pitch mix change with a 20.7% K to walk and a 32% CSW. Ryan, Soroka missed plenty of time on the IL earlier this season. He has returned. He has made four starts now. And his last three, he's given up three earned runs or less. He saw eight Ks a couple starts ago against Baltimore. What are you seeing in this pitch mix change to maybe get excited or not get excited for Soroka?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm kind of torn on Soroka because the pitch mix change is throwing this slurve. That's what Baseball Savant, that's what StatCast kind of classifies it as. Throwing this slurve almost as the primary pitch, 38% usage, and the four seam pretty much at the same exact level. But he's kind of a two-pitch pitcher. And I think for me, that's a little bit of a problem unless they're dominant pitches. Soroka's trying to throw his sinker more. It's up to 13% usage over the last month. And so that's why Soroka kind of pops on this board. I think with most two and not all two pitch pitchers are, it's not automatically a thing to avoid. It's just Soroka, like in his career, hasn't had the greatest of stuff out there. And the slurve itself is, it's okay. It's a 12% swinging strike. Like, that's league average. He throws it for strikes, which is nice. But I think, like, I'm not as high on Soroka as the stats on this board will show, just because I don't think either of the two pitches that he throws are like dominant. And I think you need something. I think you need a third pitch to make it through. And it's not there right now for Mike Soroka.
That's fair. I've always been a Soroka kind of like fan of his draft price and everything. So I think he has a streamability to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I understand your, trepidation at the same time when it comes to Mike Soroka, but I think there's a window there. Former once really high end pitcher, 27 years old, had those Achilles injuries. So like maybe there's a chance we start to see it sooner than later. Maybe this is a way to see it. We'll see. I love seeing this one, Ryan Yarbrough, my boy, and I've mentioned it many times. He's sucking me right back in. 35 pitch mix score. We have an 18% K to walk, 33% CSW. He looked outstanding on Monday versus the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He threw six innings, one run, seven Ks. He had eight Ks, one run, five innings against Texas. Strikeouts have been there the last couple starts. He's made four starts in the rotation. It's been two earned runs or less every time out. Dude, it's been pretty dang impressive seeing him back in that rotation for the Yankees.
It's been damn impressive. And this is one we also take the context of. I mean, it's now with the Yankees, and like you have the new team factor here. Maybe they see something in terms of like what their pitch models or whatever look at and see something with Ryan Yarbrough. I mean, the change with Yarbrough has been he's been a much more cutter changeup guy in over the last month. And the changeup is actually Ryan Yarbrough's best pitch. It's a 20% swing strike rate so far this season. Cutter he throws for strikes, both his fastballs he throws for strikes. But this is someone who has made a tangible change in their pitch mix, which, okay, I'll look into it a little bit more. And B, the skills have gotten a lot better for Ryan Yarbrough. Now, can the league come back and adjust to this? Of course. And that's probably what will happen. So it's a constant game of adjustments. But yeah, Ryan Yarbrough is pitching very well right now. And this cutter changeup combination has been a major reason why.
Yep. Looks good. And we'll see how the Dodgers start goes on Sunday. And then we can really get excited.
I know.
On that one. I want to mention, and we'll go to the one you highlighted here in a second, but I want to go to Cal Quantrill just to highlight something here. He's got a 35 score, 14.1% K to walk, 28.5% CSW. So I had to pull up his game logs. And over his last four starts, he's thrown at least five innings in three out of four. It's been one earned run or less in three out of four. He's got six Ks in two out of the four. Like, there is an improvement here. Do I trust Ryan Yarbrough? No. But the last four starts have shown an improvement, and that kind of correlates with this pitch mix, it feels like.
It does, but I still don't think Cal Quantrill is good.
No, it's fair. I just wanted to bring that up first.
Yeah, that's a useful exercise. It's like you can change, but if you're still not interested, then that's fine. So I don't know. I think Quantrill like maybe is a streamer, but my opinion hasn't changed too much on him.
All right, let's talk about the man you had highlighted for a second there, Brandon Faught, a guy that I've been on for a couple years now. Many others have as well. 33 score on the pitch mix change, a near 12% K to walk, near 27% CSW. It's been tilting rostering Brandon Faulk because for the most part, it's three earned runs or less. But when he blows up, he blows up. And like two starts ago, he had zero strikeouts against the Dodgers, picked up five this last time, thank God. But he hasn't been that dominant strikeout guy that I think we hoped he would be at one point in time. So where are you at on this pitch mix change where the 12% K to walk, it's below average. The 27% CSW is slightly below average, close to average, but it feels like the production's not average.
Yeah, I think Foss is trying to find something that works against lefties. I mean, the change for him has been a ton more sweepers. In May, that's up to 28% usage. He only threw it like 18% of the time in April. But something that, I don't know, Brandon Faulk, like, it's just something about him, as you know, he's just not able to kind of make that next step. And like the skills so far this season, I mean, honestly, man, it's been kind of brutal. 19% strikeout rate is not great if you're Brandon Faulk.
So like at least last year, even if he blow up, the peripherals all looked great. Like things were going good. He'd get the home runner, he'd walk a couple guys. But if he had any game where he didn't walk guys, it was like 8+K. Like he looked good, looked real good. Right now, every time I have to start him, which I don't do every week because it's just I don't feel comfortable at all with what's. I don't know what he's going to do out there, but it doesn't matter who he's facing. It just doesn't feel great. So
yeah, and the whiffs are down 2 points. The balls are up. Like it's just it's not great.
Yeah. Last one that I have on this list to discuss, unless you want to discuss somebody else, is AJ Smith-Shawver. He's at the bottom of the list, a 30 score on the pitch mix change. It's an 11.3% K to walk and a 28.5% CSW for Smith-Shawver. He was like the story of story. Like, look, he figured it out. He came back. He's pitching great. It was two runs or less for four starts since he was recalled, five or more Ks in all four starts. And then the Nationals just destroyed him in his last start. So is this a factor of, hey, that number took a big hit because of one start and this might be better? Or is this pitch mix change overblown from those previous outings?
I don't know. I can't keep a good finger on Smith-Shawver. I feel like every time he's just one of those, like every time he I think I'm out, he pulls me back in and then the Nationals start happens. And so I don't know. I think you just look at, like, you take a step back, look at Smith-Shawver in the majors every season, he's had a double digit walk rate and like a low 20% K rate. That could always change given the prospect pedigree and that sort of thing. But right now I don't know. Maybe the Nationals start like set him back and set me back. Terms of my opinion on him, but I feel like someone is similar to like Brandon Faulk, just hasn't been able to to take that next step. And he's changing things. Obviously they're both changing up their pitch mix, trying to find something that works, but it hasn't been. And even with this change, like you said, in the last 30 days, 11% K to walk, like that's pretty well below average. So I don't know. He continues to confuse me.
I'm 100% with you on that one. All right, any final thoughts on the four pitching boards here from the last 30 days before we take some listener questions?
No, let's do listener questions. This is fun. I pretty much look at these every day. Every time it runs, it updates, and I like to see who drops and falls. So, let's see where Max Meyer, where he drops tomorrow's update. Yeah. It's not going to be great.
Check that one out immediately because, whew, bad news, folks. Bad news. Before we get to the Discord questions, Kevin Hastings says, Reagan's also is one of the guys that dropped his slot a bit. Presumably that and slight velo dip are intentional to help prevent injury. And that's a good point because the innings increase has been a lot in recent years. So definitely could be something. All right, let me find the listener questions here because someone put them in a different location tonight than usual.
I didn't change it, did I?
You put it in the update section instead of the show questions section. Yeah. Caught on to that earlier. I actually did not mean to do that.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, you like change the name to screw with me, but this is a whole
different. Now I just put it in a different chat. Next week it'll be in like best ball channel.
It'll be in the playback Discord trying to find it. All right, so questions on the old Discord here. Pilster says, Jake Irvin's been pretty good this year, especially in deeper leagues. Is that sustainable? What I'll say for Jake Irvin, and this is something I think I talked about early in the season or in a write up or somewhere. Looking at Jake Irvin surprises me because I know he's talking about this year, but this is a guy that last year threw 100 and almost 88 innings, made 33 starts, 10 wins, 4-4, 1 ERA, like not great stuff, but in deeper leagues, that plays. And if you look at his 11 starts this year, it's been three earned runs or less and 8 of his 11 starts. He's got 47 Ks to 19 walks. Like, again, he's almost in line with what he's doing last year. He's not blowing the doors off anything, but he's very serviceable. I think he's very streamable in 15s. Not a whole lot of 12 love, but I know if I didn't want to steal it all from you, but those are my thoughts on Jake Irvin.
No, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's easy to sit here and just, like, destroy all of these, like, back-end kind of rotation pitchers. But to Pilser's question, it's like, especially in deeper leagues, it's like there's not much out there that's better than Jake Irvin. And I think Jake Irvin, it's easy to kind of bag on the lack of Ks because they're not there. But this is a guy who does throw strikes, has a good walk rate, and doesn't get, like, tattooed for it. And I think in deep leagues, that's fine. It's not someone who I'm starting week in, week out by any means. I do like to see more strikeouts, but in the right matchup, I think Jake Irvin is actually like a pretty decent streamer in 15s.
100% agree. The Pizza Man, Adam, says, how much does stuff plus matter in terms of correlation with results and being predictive? We have no idea.
Right. And that's kind of why I gave my little speech at the beginning. For me, it's just a trigger to kind of look deeper at some of the actual skills for these guys who, like, I do believe in if a player's stuff plus has changed very positively or very negatively, I think we can be confident in saying something has changed. And then it's on you to say if that's a good thing or a bad thing in terms of the actual skills.
And then he says that Scooble guy with the 42% K to walk, is he any good? I'd say yes. That's
freaking beast. Freaking beast. So Scooble is just real quick. Scooble is also on the fastball velocity riser list. Dude is throwing 98.2.
When you throw 103 miles an hour in the final pitch of a Maddox with 13 strikeouts, by the way, a Maddox with 13 Ks.
Unreal.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. Dude is a beast. All right. Our buddy Ben Tidd says, would be cool to hear you guys cover Soroka. Feels like he's gotten unlucky with his results. We discussed him a bit there, but to Ben's point, it's a 5.61 ERA, but it's a dude with a 3.3 Sierra. You look deeper on this. He has a left on base rate of 65% with a 53% ground ball rate. Probably a little better luck coming his direction there as well. So yeah, but depends on what level of luck we're talking, I guess.
Yeah, and that's a good point too. Like, you do need to look at, like, so yeah, I still don't think Soroka's like a good pitcher, but under the context of having a 5.61 ERA, yes, he's much better than that. And then the control with the ground ball rate, I didn't really mention the ground ball rate, but that's up over 50%. That's, if you have good control and you have a bunch of ground balls, like, good things are going to happen. So maybe I'll pull back slightly on my Soroka initial Soroka take.
Yeah, we'll see it. We'll see if a beer bet looms in the coming weeks. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Hey, you need, Kevin, you need all the help you can get, so you might as well volume your way into getting back into the game here.
It's like playing beer pong, Ryan. When I lose, I still win. If that makes sense to you, anybody involved here,
that makes too much sense.
Yeah. So, like, I'm not too concerned about this. Kevin A says, who has the higher K to walk percentage at the end of the year, Will Warren or Max Meyer? I'm going Will Warren because Max Meyer might be in AAA in a week.
I will go Will Warren as well. Truly like Will Warren.
Yeah.
The stats, at least. I don't know. I've never met him, but.
Yeah. All joking aside, I agree. I just like Will Warren, the pitcher, better as well.
Yep.
Michael C. commented on the Stuff Plus question. He said, Jeff Zimmerman did a study on this for the process this year. I don't want to give it away, his work, but he ran correlations and found that bot stuff and pitching plus more than Stuff Plus fairly predictive, especially after 5 to 6 starts. Okay. All righty. That'll do it, my friend. Any final thoughts as we wrap up another Bloom Board episode? We got a Week 11 Fab Preview coming up on Thursday. Week 11, right?
Week 11 Fab Preview coming up. I have no other thoughts. Come to First Pitch Arizona. That's my main thought. Yeah. Join us.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun booking the airfare. Yeah. We've been talking about stuff. I mentioned to you someone I was texting with earlier tonight that's already pumped to golf with us this year for the first time. Like, yeah, it's gonna be a great trip. I hope as many people as possible can get there. And hey, maybe the Bubba and the Bloom Listener League overall champion will be joining us for the first time in Arizona, which would be an absolute joy as well. So it could be a lot of fun.
We'll need to do some, we got time, but we'll do some type of meetup for all the Patreon folks that are,
oh yes, we will.
100%. We'll do something.
Yeah, we've kind of discussed a few ideas. We'll figure something out for that for sure. That won't be, that'll be a for sure thing. And Scott Burks just booked his flight, so he is on the way. There we go. But all right, we'll wrap it up there. We'll be back with you guys again on Thursday, as usual, with the Fab preview. But until next time, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intrick. And as always, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you all next time.